Welcome to Coach on the Rise, the podcast for all coaches of all sports. This podcast is a True North Sports production with the simple purpose of building a community of coaches who want to learn together, grow together, and support each other. If you'd like to learn more about True North Sports, please look for our info in today's show notes. Thank you for joining us, and now on to our show.
Hey there, welcome to this bonus episode of Coaches on the Rise. I'm Celia Slater, and it's so great to be with you. Today, we're going to hear from Amber Selking, founder of Selking Performance Group. Amber was a soccer player at the University of Notre Dame, who upon graduation had a pretty amazing path and story that led her to being the performance consultant to Brian Kelly and the Notre Dame football team for the 2017 season. This is some really exciting news. On top of that, is Amber is going to be with us in Colorado for Camp Elevate. Hooray for that. For those of you who don't know about Camp Elevate, you're going to be hearing a lot about it. I'm happy to report we've launched registration for camp, so you are welcome to sign up today. If you're an alumni of Camp Elevate, the Coach on the Rise Academy, our ACIP program, your special rate is live through January 31st. For more information on Camp Elevate, visit our website at truenorthsports.net. And now, on to the conversation with Amber. Amber, I am so fired up to talk to you today. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us and talk to our coaches.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very much looking forward to the next however long we wind up talking about greatness.
You know, it's like so funny because we've had how many phone calls and we wind up talking an hour, no matter what, you know, we just can't stop talking. Your story to me is just really interesting. You know, the path and the education that you went through, the different types of athletes you've worked with, some of the models that you've developed. Do you mind just sharing a little bit about your story with our listeners?
Yeah, well, it's been a diverse one. For coming from a very small town in northeastern Pennsylvania where we had more cattle than humans and there was pretty much zero diversity, I feel like I've been blessed to have had my feet in a lot of different realms, which I think has really prepared me to be where I am today. So I grew up raised in livestock and being in a family McDonald's business and being really passionate about school, mainly just because I loved winning. So anytime there was a competition, I wanted to win it, and valedictorian was a thing, a competition to me. So I pursued it, and then I was a soccer player. And so it was really neat, I think, looking back on my story to see, you know, athletics and agriculture and academics and business sort of was a part of me when I was little. And when I had the opportunity to go to the University of Notre Dame, it continued to grow sort of the intellectual capacity, I think, of helping me just expand my ability to think and understand and look at different cultures and perspectives on issues that we face in business. So as a management consulting major, and I actually only played soccer for my first year. So I tore my ACLs and they just never came back the way coach wanted them to. So I had this identity crisis when I was released from the team. And I just realized, you know, I could have transferred and played anywhere and just decided that, you know, I think maybe I've been brought to Notre Dame for a bigger reason. And maybe it wasn't just soccer. And so as hard as it was, I mean, that was what I'd done since I was 7 years old. And my goal was to play college soccer. And so I was there, and then all of a sudden it was gone. And so I went through this identity crisis, but in the process of that, it really drove me to dive into business and in my management major and in the business school. But then also I'd led Notre Dame Christian Athletes in the athletic department. And for me at that time, it was really just my way to ease my ego out of sport, right? Because as an athlete, your whole world is dominated by that. And when that's gone, you just need something to fill your time. And so Notre Dame Christian Athletes was that for me. And I thought, again, it was just my way to ease my ego out of sport. I was going to go be in corporate America and be a president and a CEO somewhere. And I did do that. I graduated and I went and worked in human resources for a global manufacturing company. And while there, just realized that, you know, one, my heart was still in athletics. And two, there was something that I noticed that was really interesting in terms of human performance, right? So from the sports space to the business space, there were people that were really talented and never really lived up to their potential. And then there were people that were maybe not so talented, but worked really hard and actually delivered more, and vice versa on those scripts. And so I just started to beg the question of, well, what really is going on with humans as it relates to performance excellence? And so that really sparked my interest in sports psychology. And I did my master's out at the University of Denver in sport and performance psychology, worked in an inner city high school out there with a varsity boys basketball team, which, you know, was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. And then when I graduated there, I went to University of Missouri, where I did my PhD work under Dr. Rick McGuire. And my GA position was with him in the Missouri Institute for Positive Coaching. And so we traveled around the country and taught coaches this framework of positive coaching. And really, positive coaching is a conglomeration of positive psychology, sports psychology, and coaching philosophy, and just a framework to help coaches understand, how do I build a culture that's conducive to performance excellence? How do I communicate in ways that actually motivate and get the best out of kids? And how do we really deliver great performance? So that was an incredible experience. And then, I launched my own consulting company when I was just started my master's, so back in 2012. And so the Selking Performance Group is really looking at two areas that really intrigued me in terms of delivering consistent performance excellence. And that's one, mindset, and two, leadership. And so, our phrases from the locker room to the boardroom, we help individuals, teams, and organizations understand the power of mindset and leadership to drive performance excellence. And so, when I graduated with my PhD, my dissertation was on the transition out of the NFL. And so developed a three model theory on the sort of psycho-emotional experience of the transition that these men experienced. And all of my research and work had been in masculinity and sport and mental toughness. And so it developed a model of mental toughness with my coworkers there. And that really positioned me when I moved back to South Bend, Indiana. I'd been in conversations with Notre Dame football for probably 5 years, just sending them things and sometimes getting a response and sometimes not, but never letting that faze me. And when I moved back, timing was just perfect. And then this past season had the opportunity to be the mental performance coach for the Notre Dame football team and teach in our business school. So I'm teaching strategic human resource management. And again, that intersection of locker room to the boardroom. And it's been an exhilarating, a fascinating, a crazy all around journey, but I feel incredibly blessed and honored to be where I am and just try to inspire people to understand more about how their mind works and the power they have to change their lives by changing their thinking.
That sounds so great. I mean, oh my God, there's like 30 things in there I have questions about, No, it just gets me so excited, and part of it's just listening to you talk about your path, but just also just feeling your amazing positive energy coming through, your passion for what it is that you do. And I, that was one of the ways that Caitlin Sweeney described you to me. So passionate. You're going to love her, and I think she's very right about that. The Camp Elevate session that you're going to be teaching out in Colorado next May 29th through the 31st is, the title is Championship Caliber Team Cultures, Building Mental Toughness in Today's Athlete. Could you tell us a little bit more about that? Like what kind of things will you cover in that class?
Yeah. So, a lot of the coaches that I work with, they're coaches, right? And they're incredible at their craft. But when we look at total performance, right, there's four really, I think, training domains for individuals: physical, technical, tactical, and mental. And the physical, strength and conditioning, is a huge thing in every program. The technical and tactical, and coaches are they know the ins and the outs of their sport, right? But the mental side is sometimes a piece that's left unknowing and really not understanding how do we integrate that into our training on a consistent basis. And so what allows those four things, in my opinion, again, the physical, technical, tactical, and mental elements of training and development to happen on a consistent basis is a culture. And so a lot of coaches, again, are really well versed in putting practice plans together and season plans on the technical and tactical elements to develop their team. But understanding really how to develop a culture that allows all of those things to function, to integrate, to get really connected, and therefore really deliver a high caliber of performance on a consistent basis is something I think we talk more about in business than we do in sport. And so the first part of that training is really looking at some of the great research and application of the field of transformational leadership in building transformative team cultures. And so helping coaches recognize and understand the application and integration of that in the sport setting. And then the second part is taking the model of mental toughness. So it's the McGuire Ivy Selking model of mental toughness that I developed with my colleagues out of Missouri with Dr. Rick McGuire and Dr. Pat Ivy, and helping coaches understand, well, how do we build mental toughness in today's athlete, right? Because I think there is sometimes a disconnect between you and I, right? Mental toughness is you have a job, you go do it, right? Something bad happens, well, that doesn't matter because that has nothing to do with the job that's before you to execute, right? And that's how we conceptualize mental toughness. And unfortunately, this generation is not perceiving it as such. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Parenting, I think, is one, and it's different. And I'm not saying it's better or worse. It's just different. And so, and their access to information happens at a lot earlier age. So they really have a desire to know why, right? They don't just do things. They really want to know why and how it works and how it's going to benefit them. And so what we found this model be able to do is help create a common language between coaches and athletes on what is mental toughness and how do we go about strategically building that. And so there's different tiers in the model, and I'll just run through them briefly. The base is motivation. The second is preparation. The third is focus. The next is emotional stability, and then accountability, and ultimately performance, because in sport, that's what it's about, right? In sport and life, it's about performance. You have to deliver. And so everything leading up to that should help prepare individuals mentally and emotionally to deliver their very best. Right now, there's external forces that you can't control, the weather, the caliber of the other team that you're playing, but that's not the point of this model. And so again, the second part of our workshop that or presentation training session that we'll be doing out at Camp Elevate, we'll be looking at that model and then seeing how that really integrates and can be leveraged. Once a solid culture is clarified, then we bring that in to help sustain it throughout the course of a season, a year, or a program.
That sounds so great. I wish it was tomorrow that we were doing that.
I know, I'm excited too. We could do a tryout run, just me and you.
Yeah, let's do it. So I was like, and then, you know, we're doing a lecture series in the evening at Camp Elevate, which is open to the public in Colorado Springs, Denver, Pueblo area. And you've been very gracious to offer to be a part of that lecture series as well. And that topic is the power of the mind, building championship mindsets. And I know it kind of ties a little bit into the session you'll do with us for our campers. But how is that a little different in what you'd present that night in your TED Talkish style 20-minute presentation?
Yeah, so that's going to be more specifically geared towards just the cognitive perspective of why are thoughts really important and what do they do for us and how can we better tap into the power of the mind to help us be more emotionally stable, to manage our confidence, to manage our focus, and ultimately to build mindsets, right? And mindsets are patterned ways of thinking, and we have mindsets about everything in this world. And so how do we build mindsets that are conducive to performance excellence? And that's all starts with our thoughts and our thought life. And so that talk will really be about helping the listeners understand what are thoughts, why are they important, how do they work at the neurological level, and then how can we leverage the power of the mind to again, position us to be successful on a more consistent basis.
You know, I love all that because I'm so fascinated with the concept of just meditation, mindfulness, managing our thoughts, emotional intelligence, you know, the whole piece of self-regulation. And, you know, I think that this mind piece and managing our mindset is so important because I see a lot of coaches right now are getting in trouble because of their lack of emotional control or their lack of, you know, and just how they just, they lose it. And then they feel bad about it for the rest of their lives or 3 months or however long. When you say mindset, do you find that tied to mindfulness and just paying attention? And when I tell the coaches, all mindfulness means is paying attention. You know, pay attention to what you're thinking, feeling, doing, saying, you know, like really being in the moment. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree with that. And we have not bridged into the conversation of mindfulness a lot. I don't use that word a lot because I remember as an athlete hearing that and thinking like, what the heck, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it is. And so in my foundational mental performance training program that I have, the first building block of that is awareness, right? Because you have to be aware before you can enhance. And I remember one of our football players that practiced, he came up to me, he's like, man, Doc, you really got us thinking about what we've been thinking about. And that's a great phrase, but that's really the whole essence of it, right? Is just start to be aware of what's going on around you and within you so that you can make the necessary adjustments of internally or externally to be present and to bring your best self into every single moment despite what's going on around you. And that's a skill that can be trained and really trained through the art of what you referenced in terms of mindfulness, meditation, et cetera. And, you know, one of my great friends and colleagues is the mental coach for the Cubs. And so at their single A organization, that's all their mental training is meditation, because they firmly believe that these guys need to develop that skill. So, but that by the time they're in the big leagues, that they're able to deal with that type of pressure and be resilient throughout the course of a long season. So I absolutely believe that that's a critical component. And again, it's all about how we are able to position that to athletes and to coaches, depending on where they are in their own development and in their actual cognitive development and in their openness and understanding to mental performance training. And, you know, in your case, any type of coach education, emotional intelligence, right? Sometimes that's it's a difficult conversation that coaches tend to not want to have. And we just have to figure out how to position it in ways that's consumable for them.
You know, Amber, one of the things too, that why I feel like Camp Elevate is so unique in the programming is I feel the importance of just some time that coaches could slice out for self-reflection. You know, like having time to reflect on your season, on your career, on, you know, your relationship with your athletes, your relationship with your staff, your, you know, what's working, what's not working. And I think like what you're saying here is like, to me, is so much of it. When you have the awareness, the only way to get that awareness is to have some reflection time, you know? And I think that's really what I'm hoping will attract coaches to Camp Elevate, is to take some of that time to do that.
Yeah. And that's the hard part, right? Because it's so counterintuitive to, I think, what our mindset in sport is, that fast, 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 fast paced, aggressive, intense all the time. Right. And I am that kind of person. So when I say it, it even sounds funny to myself, but I think the power of, to your point, of reflecting and taking those moments. And, you know, I have a podcast as well, and it's called Building Championship Mindsets. And so this past season was Mindset Monday. And every Monday I came forward and shared different mindset markers on issues and topics, the way champions think about things like the first quarter, the fourth quarter, energy. And one of them was recovery. Right. And so I think a lot of times as athletes, we think recovery is this thing that like we have to do as a tack on. Right. And coaches very rarely understand the importance of recovery and what that means. But I think champions and people that are able to sustain success over very long periods of time understand that recovery is actually part of the performance process. And really embedding that and engaging that in our understanding and our mindset, right? Or our patterned way of thinking about what those things mean. We need to shift that being from something that's like, oh, I do when it's downtime, or it means I'm weak, or I'm not, you know, working, quote unquote. No, this is part of the performance process. And so helping coaches understand that they need to shift their mindset on that so that they can learn new things, understand how to integrate things, figure out what's going well so that they can replicate it, what they need to do better so they can make some adjustments. And if you're really intentional about that, the power that you can have to set yourself up for success. I mean, the old quote, right? If you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. And that's a critical part of it.
Excellent. Well, you know, you and I have talked a lot about your experience with Notre Dame football, and, you know, and I'm just really curious, because I would imagine that there are not that many women that are hired to work with football teams. And from your perspective, what was that experience like for you? And what was some of the highlights for you where you felt like you had some breakthrough moments with them?
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. So I had an older brother growing up, and so I was always around the boys, if you will. And when I was an undergrad at Notre Dame, a lot of my buddies were on the football team. And, you know, I just remember we'd sit up and we're studying and icing our bodies, or, you know, we're being the typical student athlete. And I just remember conversations from them being like, Amber, I want to be a good dude. I do, you know, but like, women don't make me, adults don't expect it of me, and everything's just so fast and easy right now. And so, you know, one day I'll be a really good husband, or I'll be a really good father, but, you know, it's pretty good right now. And so that just used to break my heart. And again, I never thought it would be a compelling force into my heart to go into working in these very male dominated spaces, but it has. And, you know, how our culture has socialized men, I think in general, is sometimes limiting, or not sometimes, it's usually limiting to their ability to really understand themselves on the full spectrum of masculinity, if you will. And so that was sort of my heart and intent, is to be a positive female influence in these very male dominated spaces, because, you know, they need to learn how to have professional relationships with women and see men and women, aka me and coaches, right, working together in a professional setting to really help raise their awareness, if you will, of, oh, the contributions that women can have in this, how that relationships looks, to just help mold that. And it's been an incredible journey, and the guys are awesome. I mean, they were so open to learning how to manage their mind and how to be better, which is such a tribute, because you can teach people this, right? But at the end of the day, I can't make you think anything, and I can't get in there and finagle your brain. So you have to make that choice, and they made that choice this year. And it was really awesome to see sort of some of the lights go on in, like, oh, whoa, what I think about matters, right? And the habits that I'm building today are not just going to vanish in 5 years and 7 years and 10 years when I want to be a good husband or a good father, but I'm building habits in my life right now that are counterintuitive to the man I think I want to become someday. Mm-hmm. And so the really awesome part, I thought, was, you know, everything we talk about is going to make them better football players, but we also talked a lot about how that translates to their academic world, to their professional lives, after football one day, and to their relationships and the decisions they make on a daily basis. And so I just found that to be awesome, to be with them, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And when a kid comes up to you at practice and, you know, tells you how he used one of the strategies and how it was working for him, and you see it manifest in their ability to perform, right? Or pregame, a kid comes up to you and he's basically hyperventilating because he's way too jacked up, right? And he's like, "Doc, I'm not in my optimal zone." You know, he's like, "I'm too high right now, aren't I?" And I'm like, "Yeah, but I think you are, right?" And like you just put your hands on him and get him to breathe and quiet down and reset. And then all of a sudden they go out in the first play of the game, have an incredible play. I mean, it's just awesome for me to see that, because I know that in their mind, what they're seeing is, wow, I can control myself. And this mm-hmm. is under my control. And I think, you know, the topic at Camp Elevate is going to be working with this generation of athletes. And I think the biggest part that of what I love about my work is equipping them to manage their own lives, that they don't have to be dependent on parents or coaches or have excuses of the weather or time travel or whatever it is that is going on. Like they can do a lot for themselves. And when I see that happen with these guys on the field, that's what it's all about for me.
That's fantastic. You know, and when you look at Notre Dame football, I mean, the 2016 season to the 2017 season, what a remarkable turnaround. And none of those kinds of changes and none of those kinds of drastic turnarounds, they don't happen without the head coach really taking the leadership and the ownership and the responsibility to make the changes needed to change that. So I mean, personally, I have to give some kudos to Coach Kelly for, you know, being willing to do that and to do some different things and to look at himself and really make some changes. Cause I just know, I've worked with coaches too long. I mean, it started at the top, and his willingness to work with you and do some things differently. I mean, that's really awesome that he was willing to do that.
Yeah. I mean, and all the kudos go to him, because if he wasn't the one driving this, it doesn't happen. Right. I mean, there's too many people, there's too many egos in sport, and I'm not just saying football, like in anything really, like in corporations. And so that's why that top down approach is so important. And, you know, I've given a presentation or a national sports psych conference before called Top Down, Bottom Up, and Culturally Relevant, in really looking at how do we create an actual systemic change in an organization. But that top down leadership is so important, because they have to be committed and driving that. And Coach Kelly's commitment from himself, and then throughout the course of the year to the players and to the team and to the vision and mission that was created, was unbelievable. And to your point, like that type of change does not happen normally and easily. And it was all done by, you know, him from a strength and conditioning standpoint to an offensive standpoint, to a defensive standpoint, to a special team standpoint, to the integrating mental performance into everything that we do. I mean, it was incredible to watch. And he is a great, great leader and example of that. But then, you know, going back to that top down, bottom up, you know, working with the players from that bottom up perspective of them really buying in too. And again, making that choice to invest in their own growth and development and buy in to everything that was being done, is critically important. And that's exactly, that was a similar model, you know, that we used out in Denver with the team that I worked with in the high school level, right? Head coach drove it, players bought in. It was culturally relevant to where they were as inner city kids in high school. And I mean, heck, we did focus training and had hip hop, and they were writing their own hip hops, and we did a rap off against each other and built this incredible, like 7-paragraph rap together on what it means to focus and who we are as a team. And so again, just tapping into things that resonate with where our athletes are and how to get them to think about, conceive, and really integrate their thinking at a different level.
Yeah, you know, and I do think too, I'm going to go ahead and use the V word, vulnerability. You know, it takes a level of vulnerability to change.
And, absolutely.
And I think like at his level to change and be vulnerable and to say, I need to change, it starts with me. And I think that we don't see that enough in coaches. Typically, they have to get fired and get a 2x4 across their head about, you know, 3 times before they finally go, oh, maybe it is me, you know, that, you know, that needs to change. So it really has increased my level of respect for him as a coach for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it was fascinating to watch. And I'm not saying anything that is confidential here because he said it on his press conferences. You know, I had to take a look in the mirror and I made some adjustments and it starts with me, and I didn't do a good job of leading my football team last year. And so, you know, he's publicly stated that. He says that to the team. He's taken everything and he's committed to himself and his players and his coaches on taking strides forward, you know, and that was awesome to watch. And to your point, to see somebody in his position do that and have the courage to do that, I think is incredible because we don't see it much. And I think to your point of you have to get fired and go through maybe 3 rounds of firing to ever really get it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Pete Carroll is a great example of that.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, if I ever get the opportunity to go back and coach, I'm going to do it a different way because I think that you can treat people well and win. Mm-hmm. And I've had friends that have played for him out in Seattle, and I know guys that are scouts for the Seahawks, and they said it is one of the most demanding organizations that they've ever been a part of. But it is high energy. It is positive. It is energetic and engaging. And the one leading that every single day is Coach Carroll.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's awesome to see. You know, it's awesome to see that too, because you see it and you see him treating guys well and running things at a very high level, but winning. And I think sometimes we hold on so long to like how it's always been, you know, that to see guys like him and Coach Kelly have the courage to do it a little bit different and then see the results of that as well is exciting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly love the fact that, you know, you're working in a very male dominated, environment. And I have this feeling like when I hear people say, you know, you have to see a man to be a man. And I'm not trying to downplay the fact that men need positive male role models.
Mm-hmm.
I also know that women play a huge part in how helping them become the men that they are today too. And a majority of them, women were the main role models in their lives growing up. And somehow I think when they get into sport and now that masculinity, you know, piece that you and I love to talk about, you know, I think it gets a little, blurry in forgetting that women have just as much of a powerful, like if I look at myself, like the woman that I am today, I have equally men and women who shaped me.
Right.
And I feel like we have to get to a point with the men that it's really okay to look at it and say, wow, these women really shaped me. These women really helped me And I know I've shared with you, I just have this sense too, that all of us equally need male and female qualities to be a healthy human, you know, mm-hmm. and to be successful in life. You know, we want to be vulnerable and confident. We want to be, you know, collaborative and competitive. You know, we have to balance those. Really, we have to accept all those traits about ourselves and allow both men and women to accept those traits. Because I feel like we shame the guys, you know, of feeling, you know, having those feelings, and we shame girls for being strong, you know, and I think it's just a mistake. Why can't they be both?
Yeah. And that's the problem with, you know, society in general, to broad scope, is you take these very non-dualistic topics like masculinity and femininity and say it's dualistic, right? You're either a tough guy or you're gay, you know, mm-hmm. and there's no, it's like for young boys, they know, like, there's nothing in between that, you know, and they learn that it's one or the other. And so and for girls, it's like you're either like a prissy girl or you're a tomboy, or when you get older, you're a bitch, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, excuse my language. But, you know, again, there's spectrums here, to your point, of all of these. And I think that what allows, what the other genders allow, conversely, for each other, is to explore that spectrum a little bit more. And the reality of it is, from a sport perspective, you know, emotions and emotional instability drives a lot of performance errors. And so that's been an awesome conversation for me to have with the guys I'm working with. I was like, listen, we have to talk about emotions, and we don't need to talk about them in an emotional way, but you do need to understand that they are either going to help you or derail you. And your pretending like they don't exist is only going to hurt you from a performance standpoint, right? And so that's been the cool part about working in sport, is I found, is if we keep linking it to performance, they can hear, right? And it just calms them down to hear. And then once they get that, then they're willing to talk about anything, right? Then is when, like, the actual emotion, they start sharing emotions, when they realize that, like, oh, this is a thing, right? And so, you know, and my guys that I've worked with, I work with hockey players and basketball players and football players, and, you know, they'll be like, Doc, like, so, this girl, like, can I talk to you about this stuff? Are we allowed to talk about girl stuff? And I'm like, yeah, because it's going to affect performance. Right. So then they're like, right. Yeah. So, right. And then they just, like, pour out. But the reality of it is, sport and life are connected. And they don't have anybody to process this with. So who do they process with? Their buddies, right? Which is probably not going to be very helpful, or no one. And then, you know, and so it's really awesome when they get to that point where they're willing to share stuff, and then they want to tell you about everything. And then they're like, you know, they're starting to really understand their emotions and explore them, but they actually even get tougher in the midst of that. And that's a really cool part that I see, is like this sort of chase of masculinity. And they can explore their emotions and not be upset about it and still be okay. And they get even tougher. And that's the fun part to see.
That is really, really interesting. And when you were talking about how the athletes don't have a place to process some of these things, you know, and I found that to be true with coaches too. And like, something comes up, or they're feeling something, or they're trying to move through something. I mean, most of the time, coaches really just need somebody to talk to about something that comes up. I mean, have you found that to be true too? Like they don't always want to talk to their staff about things. You know, they don't want to always talk to their head coach about something. And it's not always a good idea to go home and pound your partner every night about, you know, the struggles that you're having at work. And I feel that's a real absent place, a safe place, where coaches can really process with other coaches, or a life coach, or an executive coach that they can bounce things off of.
Well, and I think, you know, that term you just use of executive coach, like, I mean, business people are ahead of the curve on this. I mean, they get executive coaches for almost anything, you know, if not all of them, obviously, but some are very, they understand that, okay, I need to think about this differently. And the reality is, we don't know what we don't know, right? And so a coach's job is to help ask questions, and you have a lot of answers within you, right? But it's piecing those together. And so, you know, what I share with my coaches is, listen, the brain likes order. And so when we keep things inside, a lot of craziness can happen and thoughts go all over the place. And the last thing it is organized or ordered. And so that creates additional stress, additional anxiety, additional irritation, right? So then by the time you finally go out to the practice field, your kids have no chance of having a productive day with you because you're already like frustrated or anxious or angry about something. And so this processing thing, what happens when we verbalize and process with somebody is even if that person doesn't tell us anything, it allows the brain to organize everything that's inside of it, to get it ordered, to figure out what the next step is. And now all of a sudden the stress, the anxiety, it's just like, okay, well, it still sucks, but I have a game plan. And that's where we need to be able to get. And the quicker we can get there, the more efficient our programs run, the more effective our practices are, which means the more effective games can become for us as well.
That's awesome. So I wanted to ask you a couple quick questions at the end. So in your career, what has been some of the best advice you've been given?
Oh, that's a good question. A couple things. I think that trust your gut is one of them. I think that particularly in my role, I mean, it's a lot of observation particularly when you're in season. And so, you know, when I recognize things or see things or feel certain things or something seems off, to trust that and not let it persist, because it's grown into a bigger issue than it ever should have been. Not even like, if it's not even for me, if I just like see things happening. So trust your gut has for sure been one of them. I think one of the things is, you know, everybody comes from their own story and their own background, and there's power and goodness in everybody's background and helping them see the goodness of where they came from, regardless of how hard that might be, is something that we can't take for granted. And I think the other thing is, you know, every behavior is the result of something. And so if you've got a kid that's really acting up or really ridiculous in whatever capacity that might mean for you, that's an indicator that something's going wrong or is off, or they've learned that somewhere. And so to not really be judgmental on that, but to address it and to understand it and to try to get to the why behind some of that. So those are a couple things I think that are good. And then I just think, you know, from a performance standpoint and from working with coaches, is speak their language, you know. And this is a big thing from a sports psych perspective. I think we talk a lot about is, you know, we know a lot of really cool stuff, and it's pretty fascinating. But if we can't communicate it in ways that resonate with coaches or matters to them, it doesn't really matter. And so just speaking in languages that coaches can understand. And for me, that's always just been about always driving everything back to performance and helping demonstrate and clarify that.
Okay. And in your experience, what do you think are some of the speed bumps that hold coaches back?
I think being able to, like we said earlier, process with somebody and have an honest dialogue about what's going on in their head and what they're seeing. There's just, trust is a really hard thing in this profession, and I totally get that and understand that. And so, you know, when you can find somebody that you can really trust to share these things with and to process with, it's incredible. But the reality of it is, trust is a two-way street, and you have to be willing to give it and to be able to trust somebody. So, I mean, I don't throw trust around easily myself. But you have to reach out to find somebody that you can trust to process really hard things in life, because life is hard, sport is hard, performance is hard, and coaches need to be willing to do that, because it will create a speed bump. I think the other thing is that creates speed bump is lack of alignment on vision, mission, and values on how programs need to be run, and a consistent dedication of the head coach to mandate and ensure that everybody in the program is on the same message. Because if not, kids get confused and the message gets muddled and you're not winning a championship like that. And it's just, and so I think, you know, being willing to one, clarify the vision and mission, and two, hold people to that standard and staying on that consistently is huge.
Well, Amber, I thank you so much for today. I really enjoyed this talk, and I could talk to you all day long. I cannot wait to have you with us at Camp Elevate. So thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Celia. It's always a pleasure. And I can't wait to spend some time together out in Colorado and spend some time with some really great coaches, just sharing ideas and collaborating, you know, to get best practices and to expand our own thinking and our work. So I know it's going to be beneficial for everybody involved. And I personally am very much looking forward to learning from everybody and, you know, getting better. So that's the heart of it.
Well, I think you all can see why I'm so excited to have her with us next May. I want to thank you all for listening in. If this podcast has added value to your day, I just ask you, do two things. Share it with a friend in the coaching world. And if you're so inclined, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast. The more people we can add to this wonderful coaching tribe, the better for everyone. As you head out to your day, just a quick reminder to find out more information on Camp Elevate, go to TrueNorthSports.net. Or find us on Facebook by searching True North Sports. Thank you, coaches, and keep shining bright.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you will subscribe to Coach on the Rise so you don't miss a single episode. Also, we would be so grateful if you could take a minute to post a quick review of our podcast. Your review really helps us get the word out and grow our tribe so we can reach more coaches. Until next time, keep shining bright.